You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hi, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you save your marriage no matter where it is, no matter even if you're just getting started in your marriage and you need to save your marriage every single day. But today, it's a bit more focused on those that find themselves in the midst of a marriage crisis. The reason I say that is because I want to talk about a couple of things I hear over and over from people as they begin to try to address their issue. And sometimes what I discover is the comments they make actually, or the questions they pose, actually get themselves into a worse place. You may have experienced this yourself, that you said something and you realize that all you're doing is digging the hole. I've often said many other places that you don't want to beg and plead. And so part of what we're talking about fits in that genre of responses. But there's another one that is most important. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. But we do want to make sure that what we're trying to do is create openings for change. And part of what we often do is we use kind of an interrogation process. When a relationship is in crisis, there's an interrogation process that happens almost naturally for people who are trying to get to the bottom, to the root cause, to what they can do. And so what I'm talking about today often comes from a place of care and concern, but when it comes out, what it does is it impacts the possibility of you saving the marriage in very negative ways. It puts it off even further, even if what you're saying is entirely innocent of that, it's going to create some barriers. And I want to talk about both what is said and why it creates barriers so you can kind of understand. And remember, sometimes you can rephrase these things in lots of different ways. You may be very creative in how you say these phrases, but if you find yourself somewhere in this world, be careful. These are things you don't want to say because they lead to a spouse trying to convince you and themselves. And the more they're working to convince you and themselves, the more convinced they become. So let's talk about one. One is when people ask the questions, why don't you love me? Now, I want to note that often it's not a matter of the other person not loving you. It may be that they don't feel the way they think they ought to. It may be that they feel some attraction, connection with somebody else. And so sometimes asking the question, why don't you love me, misses the whole point, that it's not about them loving you, but it is often about them feeling unloved, the other person feeling unloved. And so when you ask, why don't you love me, you're asking for a very narrow answer. Sometimes it's very hard to give a very narrow answer to such a big question. You know, it's kind of like saying, well, what happened to us? Well, lots of things happened to you that got you there. And so what happened to us is kind of that same genre of this. And let me just go ahead and add another one. What did I do? Notice, what did I do, as if there is one thing your spouse can point to, just one event your spouse could point to and say, that's what happened. So let's kind of combine these pieces of why don't you love me and what did I do. They often come hand in hand. What you're trying to do is find some place to dig in. And I know that because I know what happens next. Then people start talking about how they can fix those things. And so what you're asking for is a place of leverage. And people who are feeling the need to get out of a relationship don't want to give you leverage. Your spouse doesn't want to give you leverage. If they've just said, you know what, I'm not happy, I feel like I need to get out of this, I'm not sure what I'm going to do, or something like that. You're right. Sometimes it's just things aren't going well, and then you make it worse by what you say. But sometimes it's kind of like on the way out the door, they'll start talking about the need to end the relationship. And suddenly you might be finding yourself saying, why don't you love me? Trying to find leverage. There's nothing that can be said in response to that that's going to be helpful to you. There's nothing that's going to reveal anything, because a lot of times it has nothing to do with you. And when it does have something to do with you and the fact that you're involved in that, it's not so simple. It can't be boiled down to one thing. A lot of times we want to make things simple. And while the process of rebuilding a marriage is pretty straightforward and simple, the reasons that the marriage fell apart tend to be very complex. Now, notice, let me say that again. The way back to saving a marriage is pretty clear, and there's a pretty clear road plan. In fact, that's kind of what I provide in my Save the Marriage system, is a road plan on how to get back. And when I lay out in my book, how to save your marriage in three simple steps, I lay it out in those three simple steps. But how you got there is a different matter. What you do from there, that's one thing. How you got to here is another. So we look for simplicity in those places. And it's interesting that what I've noticed is people want a very simple answer to what's wrong, and then they look for very complex ways of making things better. The fact is, the way relationships fall apart and the way that personalities are at clashing points in a relationship are very complex, very multi-layered, very difficult to get to bottom. And it's not that somebody can say just a simple answer to that. And yet the process back is pretty simple and straightforward. So when somebody says, "Why don't you love me?" they want a very simple answer, and there isn't one. It's a very complex question, talking about history and feelings and emotions and connection and lack of connection and all these dynamics that swirl around us that we can't even put words to. So when you're asking that, you're asking someone who probably can't even put words to it to tell you what's wrong. And so you're putting them in a place where they're trying to boil all this stuff that's overwhelming their emotional base into a very simple sentence. And usually that can't be done. So what they end up doing instead is beginning to create reason after reason after reason. And in other words, they kind of build up their case. You know, it's kind of like those legal shows you watch on TV where one of the attorneys is trying to find all the alternate ways of explaining what's going on, so that they can convince somebody of, you know, some point of their defense. And in actuality, sometimes that's just made up, right? It's just giving explanation after explanation. And what's going to happen is you're going to be kind of like that other attorney where you're arguing every single point. And as you argue the points, they're going to begin to build more and more of their case. And so what you end up doing is you keep increasing the level of resistance when you have that conversation about why somebody doesn't love you or what did you do. It just can't be boiled down that easily. And whenever you get caught up in that conversation, it's going to spiral downward as the other person tries to convince you of why things are at a problem point, and you try to convince the other person of why they don't have to be that bad. In other words, as you're trying to convince your spouse of why things can work out, your spouse is spending their time convincing you of why it can't. That's a standstill. That's a lock point. That's a stuck point that you can't get past because you keep kind of going back and forth. You're pulling at opposite ends. Remember the game of tug of war. Whenever somebody throws you a rope and starts pulling, you're going to naturally pull back. It's just a natural reaction for humans to pull against any resistance they feel. And so as you create resistance, you create a higher level of resistance with your spouse. And so as you're trying to argue your point, as you're trying to bring what you think is sanity to the situation, they're doing the same thing. Your spouse is doing the same thing. You're not going to agree on what's happening from here. If you did agree with the need to dissolve the relationship, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast right now. So you're on the side that wants to get it at a different place. But your spouse is on the side of wanting to make a shift, right? And so as you're on that place, you realize that the tug of war is only going to go downhill. Okay, so make sure that when this comes up, you're not asking the question, "Why don't you love me and what did I do?" But let's add another one in there, which is, "Don't leave me." That's a kind of a statement. And "don't leave me" comes from a place of neediness. Now, it's not that you're not going to feel that, right? That's a natural thing to feel, that neediness. The question is whether you let that out. "Don't leave me" often is followed with lots of other pulling and tugging. "Don't leave me comes from a place more of the neediness. And when somebody feels that neediness, they're going to resist even further. None of us like the neediness that comes from people, and so we naturally resist it. And so your spouse, when they hear "don't leave me," is not hearing anything other than that provocation from you to remain. Remember, you're not saying, "I love you so much, I want you in my life." You're saying, "don't leave me." And so it's all about you, right? And in the process of trying to work on a relationship, you have to shift that equation away from it being all about you. to all about the other person and this is important, and the relationship. As long as you're focused on what are you not getting, what's not going on, how are things not going your way, how is this person leaving you behind, you're going to find yourself stuck. You're going to find yourself mired down in that because it comes from that place of desperation. And more than that, your spouse is going to experience that desperation and avoid it more and more and pull away from you more and more. And as that happens again, we create more barriers rather than getting to a better place. Okay, so the first three things that can come out of somebody's mouth in the beginning stages of a marriage crisis is, why don't you love me? What did I do? And don't leave me. So let's talk now about one that's probably hanging in your head as we speak. And that's the desire, especially if you've been working on trying to change some things, the desire to proclaim, I have changed, or I am going to change, or I can change. Now, when you say that, you probably say it with all good intention. And you might even be completely accurate. You may have already made the changes. Or you may be completely and entirely capable of making the changes you want to make. But here's the problem. When you point to it, verbally point to the changes, rather than be the changes, rather than become the changes, what you create is an expectation on the other person's part. So they begin to look to see and look to where they can prove you wrong. So if you say, I've changed, you know, now work is not a priority, and then you have to have a work project, and then they say, see, work is the priority. And so you begin to create expectations and set the expectations to a different level. And so the other thing it does is it creates suspicion, because the person is naturally going to ask, if you could change now, why didn't you change 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Why didn't you change before now, 6 months ago even? Why did it take me threatening to leave? And that is a question that's very difficult to answer. You might be able to say, well, you know, you finally have my attention, to which they're going to say, so I didn't have your attention before, you didn't love me before, you weren't listening before. There is no answerable to that. So when you say, I have changed, or I'm going to change, or I can change, you create an expectation in the other person that gets in the way of you doing exactly that. So instead of saying, I have changed, or I am going to change, or I can change, be the change. Don't tell them about it. Be the change. Let your actions speak louder than any words you could say, because the words will create resistance. The actions will prove your point. The more often you can be consistent with the changes you want to make, the more definite you can be about the changes that you want to make or have made, the more clear you can demonstrate that, the more your spouse will begin to notice it. And notice, we want it noticed. You don't want to force it on the other person. You want it noticed. Over time, you want the other person to say, your spouse to say, wow, you know what? You've become a different person. And you don't have to proclaim it. In fact, often when people proclaim what they're going to do or how they're going to do it or who they're going to be, they're not really going to do that. They're just wanting the effect. Now remember, you probably also have a dynamic of this. You might have in the past said, I'm going to change that, and then you didn't. And whenever you've said, I'm going to change that, and then you didn't, you raise the suspicion level and you lower the trust level of the other person. That then the next time, it's kind of like you cried wolf again. So when you say, I have changed, or I am going to change, or I can change, you're creating more difficulties, more friction, more trouble in trying to show that change. You're kind of highlighting it. So now they're looking to see where you change, and more importantly, looking to see where you haven't changed, where you fall short, where you fall into old patterns, and that does happen. So the better thing to do is to be the change you promised yourself to be. Not to be the change you promised the other person. If you've already promised your spouse how you're going to change, then you definitely want to live up to that. But if you have something you want to promise, instead of promising it, work on being it. Step two of my three steps in saving your marriage is change yourself. So I'm all for changes. I'm all for the changes in your life. I just don't want you to proclaim it to the world verbally as much as to be it and to become it. I hope this has been helpful for you. If it has, I would love it if you would spread the news. Just let people know. If you're on Twitter, you can do that by typing into your browser, savethemarriage.com/love. That's savethemarriage.com/love, and just show us a little Twitter love. And if you're trying to figure out how to get a grasp on what's going on in your relationship, please grab my system. The Save the Marriage system is available at savethemarriage.com. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.